This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
All right, we're going to go with our new award-winning segment, What Mark Heard, with Mark Grody, who used to be on this show. Now he's on this show. Mark, what did you heard this week?
Well, I heard yesterday that Matt Nagy is going to call plays. I don't know. Have you guys talked about that at all today or played the cut of Matt Nagy pointing out there? He was asked straight up, are you going to call plays tomorrow? And he said something to the effect of, I might or something. Then he quickly said, no, it's going to be Bill Lazor. But that tells me that Matt Nagy is going to call plays tomorrow, which is fine.
I'm not going to call plays, no. And if I might, if I decide to, I will. I'm not but we're going to let Bill go ahead and continue to do what he's been doing a great job at this whole time, so we'll have a little fun out there.
Which is not a big deal. In fact, I like the idea of that, of having a little fun out there, and who cares if Matt Nagy is calling plays. But it was one of a couple of tells to me that, that after the Minnesota game and probably at night stories will break about Matt Nagy not being the Bears head coach anymore, as if you needed any more proof. I mean, I think that we've all been on this, that 98% Matt Nagy is going to be out, but the little things are starting to show. There was one more thing yesterday as well that was said, and you may have to just be around the Bears a lot to have figured out this tell, but Matt Nagy at one point was, and I know this is in Score audio because I used it last night, so I don't know, maybe Studs can pull it at some point in time, but there was Matt Nagy asked about Akeem Hicks, and when Matt Nagy has a chance to sing the plaudits, praise plays a player, when he is presented with that opportunity, he usually goes on and on and on about guys, and it was just a very short 10-second. He said nice things, but you could kind of tell that maybe there was some sort of strain between Matt Nagy and Akeem Hicks or the organization or something. At least that's what I read into, and maybe I've gone a little bit too deeply into it, but those are a couple of things I heard. Also, I heard Andy Dalton say a couple times yesterday that, yes, he really does wonder what would have happened had he not gotten hurt in the Cincinnati game this year. And also Dalton was asked if he had any interest in coming back here next year, and he certainly talked around that. Andy Dalton has no interest in
Bears!
I know that there's not a single Bears fan out there that has any sympathy for Andy Dalton, because justifiably everybody wanted to see Justin Fields play, but I'm sure Andy Dalton feels like he was betrayed. You know what I mean? And he's not going to say it. Andy Dalton is a good guy. He is not somebody, he's not even probably somebody down the road who would say anything about it. But it had to have, pardon the expression, sucked for Andy Dalton this year.
Well, and Mark, we were just talking about that. And I wonder, because Nagy's plan all along was Dalton. And, that is the, hey, we need to win now. We need to win this season. And my best chance as head coach to win games, albeit not while developing our first-round draft pick, would be to have Andy Dalton play. And then, he gets hurt, and then as we were just talking about, at some point he is told, at least as what to what Hub had reported, is that, you know, you're starting Fields, not Dalton, right? I mean, so it would be had Dalton not injured his knee, I believe it was against the Bengals. How does this season look? And are we still, I mean, we're certainly, I'm sure we would have been screaming for Fields at some point, win, lose, or draw, right?
Yeah, well, here's what would have happened, Espo. The Bears would have been in the proverbial hunt. They'd probably be going into this game in Minnesota, and there'd be meaning in it. And there might, maybe the math would be difficult, who knows, with the Bears at this point. But based on what they did last year, yeah, they probably would have gotten, who knows, they may have gotten into the playoffs if it was Dalton or Foles this year. However, what good does that do you? We found out what good that did the Bears last year by being 8-8, and that got them into the postseason, and that got them dismissed promptly in the postseason, and it was kind of a joke. So it would, organizationally, it would have done nothing for the Bears. Individually, it probably would have saved Matt Nagy's job, and it probably would put Andy Dalton in a really good position to either be a starter for another team or probably happily come back to the Bears as a backup and just have a goodwill feeling. So I think that, like, for the organization's sake, and really that's what we're all here to talk about, it's good that it worked out that way. But yeah, man, there's no doubt in my mind that the Bears would be in the playoff picture right now if Foles and or Dalton had played this year, because as we can all see, Justin Fields has a lot of work to do. I'm like everybody, I do still think there's a ton of hope for Justin Fields, and I cannot wait for training camp next year to see what that looks like with Fields being the guy, with a new support staff around him, with new players around him, with new assistants around him, the whole support system, where it's all about Justin Fields, which it simply was not at the beginning of this year. However, Fields struggled this year, and in some cases, the Bears lost games that they probably would have won. You know, as Hub pointed out when he prefaced one of his questions to Matt Nagy in our Zoom, the Bears this year 2-8 with Justin Fields, 4-2 with Dalton and Foles. And I know a ton goes into record and quarterback record and all of that stuff, but I do think that in this case, you can read into it a little bit. Because if you're a Bears fan, if you are us, you guys all, and everybody listening right now, you all saw the games. You all saw the games. You can love Justin Fields, but you saw the games. He has work to do.
That's Mark Grody. He's on this show. It is his show. He's on this show, and he's on the Score Hotline presented by
Crashing His Own Show.
Presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. There's this report from 24/7 Sports via Sports Illustrated, and I'm reading it out of the New York Post. The father of Darius Clemens, a four-star wide receiver committed to Michigan, said Jim Harbaugh acknowledged the possibility of making the leap to the NFL, contemplating a return. Quote from Larry Clemens to 24/7 Sports. He said he'll entertain NFL opportunities. He was up front with us about that. I had Coach Harbaugh speak to my pastor. They had a good conversation. Our pastor asked him about that, and that's just the reply that he had given him. So, there you go. Jim Harbaugh is acknowledging he will entertain NFL offers.
Well, I'll say this. Number one, of course he's going to at this point. And if it's not, and I know, look, he took the pay cut, so maybe he's burned up a little bit by that. But here's what I think. A lot of people thought that, okay, if he wins a title at Michigan, then he's definitely out of there. But if he doesn't, he's going to go back. And my thought was, no, he is maxed out at Michigan. They won the Big Ten title and championship game for the first time in, what, over a decade. They beat Ohio State for the first time in ever. He was the AP coach of the year this year. And then guess what happened? Jim Harbaugh hit the SEC wall. He ran into Georgia. And when coaches run into the SEC wall, they realize that they have gone as far as they can. And yes, Michigan could conceivably be in the national title picture, but it takes luck and absolute maximum effort. So think Notre Dame, and And their head coach, whose name for some reason right at this very
Brian
second.
Kelly.
Thank you, Brian Kelly. He did the same thing. He hit the SEC wall. He built a great thing, did Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. But then all of a sudden he realized, you know what, as good as this is, as great as Notre Dame is and everything that goes with it, what I've built, getting to a national title, I ain't going any further. So either go to the NFL or guess what? Join an SEC team, and that's damn what Brian Kelly did. And I think that that's why Jim Harbaugh would think yes, NFL, and why wouldn't the Bears consider that? And you know what? For me, it has nothing to do with his former bareness. Like, that's cool. I mean, it's good just because then we could skip all of the pandering part where if you're not associated with this organization, you're forced to hate the Packers. You're forced to talk about, you know, bear weather and all this. Jim Harbaugh lived it. And let's face it, Jim Harbaugh did not have a great Bears career. It might have even been bad. I mean, he was, you know, when he left here, it was not on good terms. He went to the Colts. He became Captain Comeback, and that's kind of where his career took off. And he became a terrific coach at Stanford and, you know, out west and all, and obviously doing what he did with San Francisco. So, and he brings you immediate credibility to the organization. And I do think that how could you not consider somebody like Jim Harbaugh as head coach of the Bears if that becomes possible?
Right. And to me, Mark, this is, you know, he's going to make a ton of money, whether it's in the pros or in college. To me, it comes down to this. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, am I tired of dealing with college kids and recruiting and all of the stuff that goes with being a college coach versus, because he's done both, right? I mean, I'm sure he has a preference. You know what? I like this better than that. Does he prefer one to the other? If I'm him and I've made a ton of money in my lifetime and I've had success at all levels, I'm going to pick the one that I love most, and I'm going to go do it, whichever one that is.
Yeah, and I don't know with him. You know what I mean? Like, I would think it with him, it's almost just like, what am I in the mood for? At least that's the way his career has felt, right? I mean, he does the Stanford thing, very successful there, very successful. Then he goes to the pros, goes to San Francisco, and gets to a Super Bowl in his second year. He restored order because didn't he succeed Mike Singletary? I mean, not only did he go to San Francisco, but he followed up Terry, who we all love here as a player, but he was, again, sucked as a head coach. So and then he goes back to Michigan. So I don't know that he necessarily has a passion for either. I guess by the numbers, it would suggest that he's more of a college passionate coach. But like I said, he's hit the wall at Michigan. Unless some SEC top tier team comes calling, it's that or the National Football League, and reportedly the two teams that he'd be most interested in would be the Oakland Las Vegas Raiders and the Chicago Bears. So, and I think it's a wash too in terms of, you know, his relationship with Mark Davis, that is real, that exists. His roots out west for sure would be a calling. Who doesn't love being out west weather-wise? But then there's the challenge of the Bears. You got nothing to lose to come here. Things can go up. And if you could be that hero that restores order, I'll use that phrase again, with the Chicago Bears, then you have accomplished something massive. So it depends on what he wants to take on, but it's certainly worth monitoring and looking into.
Do you think Mark Davis could top $15 an hour? A coaching salary? I don't know.
Maybe for his haircut. I don't know. We'll have to see.
So I got it. Yeah. Mark, remember after Thanksgiving, we were discussing, we did the show the morning after Thanksgiving, and we were discussing Matt Nagy's comments. And I found it odd, and I brought it up about the way, after that week, the way it transpired with the report that I believe was real, that they were going to fire Nagy after the game in Detroit. And then it was reported, and it became a discussion, and the Bears were too dithering and paralyzed to react, and all they could do is deny it because that's what they do. Again, the arrogance of their ignorance or their ignorance of their arrogance. And now you say it was never a case, it wasn't going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Near the end, and then he won the game. It took until the last second to beat a winless team, and then we hear Matt Nagy in the post game about what a relief it is, the support he's gotten in the building, and the way the players banded together, and just all the stuff you expected to hear. Near the end, he talked about Ryan Pace and the support they received in the building. And it struck my ear as odd. He had never mentioned Ryan Pace in all of that postgame, and this was near the end. And it seemed disjointed. And what it seemed as though, as he was taking, I thought he was taking, he was dragging the GM in with him. And now it's starting to make more sense to me. I couldn't understand why. And this whole idea of collaboration has turned into separation, it appears. And I look at Ryan Pace as a guy who snaked a draft pick that he wouldn't tell his head coach about. And I believe he's got that stripe in him. Maybe you need to be a successful executive. But he wouldn't tell John Fox what he was doing to draft Mitch Trubisky, who was not John Fox's choice. So he was keeping it a secret. And there seemed to have been a growing separation instead of collaboration. Because, and a small part of this, a perfect microcosm, though, is starting Jason Peters over Tevin Jenkins. If you're doing what's best for the team, you're starting the younger player. You're not starting the guy who's going to go back on a boat and go fishing. But Matt Nagy is doing what he wants because he's doing what he wants because he knows he won't be able to be doing this after Sunday. So
right.
I think there's a bit of snakeness going on up there with the idea that Ryan Pace could keep his job after all this failure. Do you think there's something to it or not?
First of all, I call it de-collaboration. You know, if there was a collaboration, there's a process going on.
Again, the collaboration.
The de-collaboration. It's possible. Another possibility, too, is that they have been – I mean, how could let's be honest here. How could Ryan Pace not have soured on Matt Nagy to some degree, considering – He the offense hasn't worked. Let's just leave it as simple as that. So is it possible, too, that Ryan Pace has just been sort of disingenuously supporting his guy and talking about collaboration and talking in generalities instead of being specific about things? Because maybe Ryan Pace is disappointed in his head coach. And it does make sense what you're saying, Steve, that like that scenario is not unfathomable to think that, yes, Ryan Pace maybe is just trying to protect himself, maybe trying to distance himself. But wouldn't it also make sense, if he has football eyes at all, that he's not pleased with the way Matt Nagy has coached this team? And like many organizations in all of sports, there is public support for somebody, but behind the scenes, it's not the same. And maybe Ryan Pace is, and maybe this is just me dreaming, maybe Ryan Pace has said to him, why did you run that play? Why did you do this? Why did you take that time out? Maybe there is actual evaluation that has gone on. And again, how in the world could they not have been disappointed with 4 years of mediocre to bad offense on the Chicago Bears? So even if it is snake oil salesmanship, it has been the head coach that has failed over the last 4 years. And I'll say one more thing about Ryan Pace. If he still is around, I don't think it matters if he's still around as long as he doesn't have control of the 53-man roster. If they do, if they, you know, like look,
might
I mean,
explain
in
why his head coach sucked.
Well, in an organization, in any business, you find the strengths of people and you put them in positions to win. Obviously, Ryan Pace has some strengths in scouting, in the later rounds of the drafts, in building up, Hallis Hall, whatever the case may be. And then if they are going to, as reports have indicated, bring in a separate GM who does report to Ryan Pace in a ceremonial type of way, and that guy is there just to cross-check to make sure that GM doesn't do anything crazy, then I don't think fans are going to care. Like, or at least that's what I'm predicting. I'm not going to try to tell fans how to feel now, but you're not going to care. You don't care right now about Kenny Williams. You don't care about John Paxson being in the organization. You don't care about Crane Kenny being part of the Cubs organization. You don't care about any of these guys because those organizations have been just as maddening as the Bears, but they got their stuff together by bringing in people like Rick Hahn and Arturas Karnashov Provis and Theo Epstein, and it made you not care about who else was in the organization. And I think that that is something that is possible with the Bears as well.
Yeah, Mark, after listening to everything yesterday with Big Z and with all the talk on the station, so here is my prediction. I want to get your take on this. Ted Phillips retires or is put somewhere else, right? Ryan Pace moves into that president role, and there's your football president, right? But he does not have, exactly as you said, he's not controlling the roster anymore. We're going to hire a general manager. We're going to hire a new coach. Your new organizational structure, for everyone complaining about the Bears not being football-y enough, has a football president and a football operation underneath him. And that's kind of how, as more reports come out, that's kind of just how I see this leaning.
I think that it also depends on who that person is that they bring in. You know, obviously it would help a ton public perception wise if it turns out to be a familiar name and somebody with credibility behind him. But yeah, that word, even if it's not a familiar name, if that person comes from credibility, if there is a resume that we can look at and say he did this, 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 and that, then I think everybody would take a deep breath and say, okay, business not as usual. They are doing something differently to move the organization ahead. As you said, adding the extra, it would, you know, obviously by definition, it would be adding an extra football voice in the room. And if that person took control, I don't think it becomes a quantity issue. It becomes a quality issue in terms of how many football voices that they actually have. But it becomes so important who that person is, who the chief operating football person is, who that czar mm-hmm. is in terms of you can't at this point, you can't take a risk. You can't think outside of the box. Although I think I've always liked that sort of thinking in any organization where you do something creatively. I think that the Bears are in a situation where they have to go for the slam dunk in no matter what that means at whatever cost that might mean.
Well, you can't have a guy who's been wrong about two coaches and four quarterbacks and maybe a fifth quarterback be the Uber over everything. You just can't. I mean, it's just the tsunami of stupid if he is retained and he has authority over if he's going to be doing the hiring. I mean, we already seen the idiocy of Ted and George. We've seen the idiocy of two guys mesmerized by Phil Emery being allowed to make more hires. I mean, it's just, if you're a Bears fan, they treat you for stupid. They play you for stupid. That's what you are. You're just going to, they're going to act that way, and you're going to like it or lump it, and that's it. I don't know. We'll talk about it next week, Mark, when you're actually on your show.
Now, we'll see. We'll see. I've kind of enjoyed my my time away from the filth and the suckage, so I don't know. We'll see.
Filth?
It's just a bunch of filth on Saturday mornings, I tell you.
Mark, the good news is we have a new musical number that you'll be enjoying to listen to next week, courtesy of one Julie Swyka. So yep. You'll get to listen to that next week. Look forward to that.
We're asking.
Oh, wait, Jules producing the show now? What's going on?
She is one of the suckageers that responds to our calls for things as we ask for them. And she tweeted at us a musical number that will add to your suckage montage to start your show next Saturday. So you're going to be looking forward to that.
She's going to be our musical producer, Brody. Yeah. Musical yeah. correspondent producer for $15 an hour, which I will not pay.
You'll take the help, won't you, stud? You're like solo Saturday boy. Yeah, I got you.
And fair. Cinnamon rolls. Okay.
Bye, guys. Is that it? You need anything else? What else you want to know?
Here's what I want to know. I found this interesting this week, so I wanted to talk to you about it, but you're not here, so I'm going to talk to you about it because you're now here.
Okay. All right.
Super 70 Sports threw out this question. You know, the Twitter feed, Super 70 Sports. And it's a perfect question for Sports Talk Radio, so that's why I'm mentioning it on Sports Talk Radio. What is the most important item on your sports bucket list? So you at home, think about it and see if you match our studio audience. But let me tell you this. This was the charming thing about this posting. The first answer I saw came not from a civilian like one of us or whatever, not a random follower, but from a decorated athlete. The first response I saw came from Ferguson Jenkins, who tweeted, "Only one left on mine, getting a statue."
That's, yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, that's Fergie's. That's his. That's on. It is what the most important item on his sports bucket list. And Fergie is responding to the Super 70 sports question. I just love the whole idea. There's so many layers to that. So there you
yes.
go.
Yes. So sports go. Bucket list, right? You want me yeah. to get you? Can I give you mine real quick?
Like? Yeah, that's why I asked.
Okay, so I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I think, and maybe it's just because I kept mentioning the SEC, I would like to go to like, I don't know, what's the purest college football matchup? Because I don't even really like college football, but I'd like to see, be part of the whole thing of like an Alabama-Auburn game or whatever the LSU, whatever the best college football venue is and be part of all that. Because I can't think, I know like, that's not like the obvious. Like, I don't really care about the Masters and the, at least going to it, or the Kentucky Derby or NASCAR or anything like that. So I'll go with that. I'll go with that.
Okay.
And I'll leave you with this too. Did the podcast yesterday, the Let Me Put a List Together podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's back. Okay.
Yeah. It's back. It's back intermittently. And you guys
on
you
a regular guys, intermittent basis.
Yeah, on a regular. No, it is pretty regular actually. We kind of stopped a little bit during Christmas and New Year's, but whatever. So yesterday we did our top 15 rock lead singers. So did we have some fun with that? And I will tell you this: Eddie Vedder's not my number one. He's my number five.
I was just going to say, we already know who your number one is. That's amazing.
It is not. He's number five. I'll give a couple. Dave Grohl is my number 15. Stevie Sunshine, Jim Morrison is my number 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you one more random one. The combination of Von Scott and Brian Johnson at number eight. So there you go. There's a little tease for you, and I know that that'll stimulate you too because you both have rock and roll brains too.
A texter suggests you might want to go to the Illinois State SIU football game if you're talking.
No, but I
Southern
did.
Southern rivals.
My nephew played in the Iowa Illinois State club hockey game in Rosemont yesterday.
Oh,
how about that?
Hey, there you go.
Club hockey. You betcha.
All right. Catch it. Club hockey fever. Catch it. All right. Will
anything else?
No, I guess get away from the go take a shower, get away from the filth from suckage.
Yeah, I'm gonna go have to go rinse myself. See you guys.
See you,
Mark Grody. He's on this show, but he's not on the show. He was just on that show. Okay. So we're way over. We'll take a break. This Saturday suckage. We suck when it comes to keeping to a radio clock, but that's what makes this show what it is. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, all right, all right.
Wooderson. Indeed, the Wake and Bake Club. Wooderson is part of the Wake and Bake Club. He's some emeritus something or other. And Snoop Dogg.
He's like a founding member of some kind, right?
He is indeed. That's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome in, welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I mentioned Snoop Dogg. One of our potential guests, Amy Trask, the Dark Princess. CEO of the Raiders, hired by Al Davis. Apparently, Snoop came across Al Davis at some point, and Al Davis says, after being introduced to him, "Nice to meet you, Mr. Dog." And Amy Trask said later, "You don't call him Mr. Dog. He's not Mr. Dog. He's Snoop." But at least he knew who he was after that. So do you have a number one on your sports bucket, the most important item on your sports bucket list?
So I've thought about this. There are several things that I have not gotten to do that I definitely would like to do. Baseball Hall of Fame is one. I wouldn't put that at the top of the list only because it's a Hall of Fame. I could walk in there any day of the week. I just need to actually get myself to Cooperstown. I haven't done that yet. That is on the list. There are two things that I thought, and one would seem to be sacrilege as a Bears fan, but it's really not, and I'll explain why. Number one, and I'll say this because I think just the setting and the weekend of it, and Grody actually mentioned it, to go to a Masters in person, and I'm not the biggest golf fan in the world, but I do the scorecard right here on The Score with Barry Cronin, and I've gotten more into it as I've gotten older, and seeing it in person in that setting. You know, no phones, no nothing, on the grounds, dealing with what's going on there in person. I think that would be fantastic. I think it's a one-of-a-kind experience, and that would be one. The other one that came to mind right away, and I was actually just talking about this with a friend recently, I have never been to a football game at Lambeau Field, which by all accounts, even for Bears fans, is as cool a place as you can watch an NFL football game ever. I would like to do that. Those are the two that popped into my head right away when you mentioned that question.
Yeah, Lambeau Field is a thing, and the surrounding Packer, whatever the Packernalia around it is, Packers Hall of Fame. One time I was sent up there to do a story of the just finding Vince Lombardi, and one of them included going to the place where the Packers offices used to be, which I think was a service station after that. And that's where their offices used to be. And they took the office. They had, and I can't remember where I saw it, but there was a plexiglass enclosed office, Vince Lombardi's plexiglass enclosed office. So you have the black rotary phone and a wooden desk, and that's where Vince Lombardi was a genius. And then I went to his house, and at the house, I don't remember who the owner is, at his house, his former house, at the house where he and Marie live, is a cement, off to the side of the cement porch is a drawn in the wet cement when and hardened, it's something about I love Marie or Marie and Vince. It's written in there like they were two young lovers. And I stopped and parked outside for a while, and I could see the curtains open, and the woman goes, "Oh no, somebody else is here again." And then I found I wish I could remember the name because it was a great place. I found a Bears bar in Alloway, right across the river. The Green Bay Quarterbacks Club would meet there, but it was a Bears bar. And most prominently on the wall was that picture, that famous picture of Ditka. With one finger extended.
The finger,
Yeah, walking around the sidelines on the opposite side. Under on the other side, the owner of that bar had taped Royko's column from the day Michael McCaskey fired Ditka. Again, as we talk about the Lucky Sperm Club going back. And it was Len, his first name was Len, and he was a Southside guy who moved up to Green Bay, and he started a Chicago bar, a Bears bar. And
I love it.
Yeah, so that was it. And look, Lambeau Field is great. The history there, it's unbelievable. It's just, it'll be like going to Yankee Stadium. You want to see history, go to Yankee Stadium and find a way to get to the monuments out there. The Billy Crystal said he thought that's where they were all buried. He thought Monument Park was a cemetery because, oh, yeah, there's Babe Ruth, there's Gehrig, there's Yogi Berra, there's, yeah, that's where they're all buried. That makes sense. It's perfect. And you see the frieze, the famous frieze around the front latticework around the upper deck of the stadium. It's so, I mean, it's historic. And the way that place sounds in October, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yep. And certainly, like, we've been to Fenway, so I checked that one off my list a number of years ago. Old Yankee Stadium would have been on my list. I suppose New Yankee Stadium would be great to go to, too, but it's not the historical pull, I guess. It doesn't have that, all the stuff you were just talking about going to a game up at Lambeau. And as an interesting side note, I have framed and autographed that picture you're talking about of Ditka with his middle finger extended. I used to work way back when on the production side of a TV show that Ditka used to be on. It was the Pro Football Weekly show that Hub used to do years ago. This was in the 90s. And Ditka was one of the panelists. And I had that picture, and I brought it to the show one day, and I asked him to sign it. I just said, hey, you know, it was a very basic ask. I didn't do anything more than Mike, would you mind signing this for me? Without asking, nothing at all, he signs your number one, Mike Ditka.
Of course.
It's so good.
Yes.
I love it.
And that's what he had a lot of practice at that. At another radio station, we did a season with Ditka, and we would do Thursdays from his restaurant. And during commercial breaks, there would be a line of people to get his autograph. And he would sign only if you made a donation to Miraville. And he had a basket right in front of him, and he'd watch, he'd sign whatever it is. And half of the items were that picture. Everybody has that picture, and they want Mike to sign it, and it's terrific. It's just terrific. So you guys do you play fantasy football?
And I do.
I do.
Trash Bandit, yeah. Have you guys ever won your league?
I've won. I've won. Trying to think of the leagues I've won. Yes, I've won. I'm in like five leagues. I've won three of them.
I am nowhere near five leagues, but I have won all of them. Yes.
I can't remember what there was a guy in the Defector who won his fantasy league, and he took out an ad in the Daily News congratulating himself on winning for the second straight year. Congratulations on the second straight year of winning this fantasy league. And I beat Sean and Reggie, who have zero titles. That's what he said. He took out an ad to congratulate himself. And I sent this because my friend Joey Ice, the frozen guy from my Trader Joe's, finished second, and he lost mostly because Buffalo's tight end sucked, and Josh Rosen didn't throw as much as he ran for TDs, and Antonio Brown is just a toxic piece of fecal matter. So he finished second. I said, if you won, would you do this? He goes, no. You'd probably have to spend all of your winnings.
All of your money, exactly.
It'd be worth it.
Ad.
It'd be worth it. I actually, it's funny you bring that up, because so in one of my leagues, which is with several of my college friends, last year the winner, my friend Chachi, he...
Chachi
is mm-hmm. what we call him. So he won, and he did the thing, I'm blanking on the name of it. You know where you can get famous people to just like do things?
Cameo.
Cameo. He did a cameo.
Dan Bernstein did it too.
He did a cameo with Dean Blandino, you know, the rules analyst for Fox, former official. He did a cameo with Dean Blandino, and Dean Blandino just roasts everyone. Like, it was so well done. And
roasted all the guys that he beat.
Yeah, he roasted. So when he gets to my name, Dean Blandino goes, I don't know if he did this, if my friend told him to do this, or if Dean Blandino just improv'd this, but he goes, he gets to my name, he goes, "Studs, you're not a stud, you're a loser." And I'm like, never in my life did I think I'd get so burned by Dean Blandino.
There you go. The rules guy, that's it. Well, anyways, he spent that money on an ad to congratulate himself.
Yep.
And
I will point out your suckage, my friend, as one of our texters just said as well. You had not Josh Allen, but Josh Rosen playing in your friend's fantasy lineup.
I can't tell your
Josh Rosen does suck, so it plays.
He does, yes.
Yeah. If your guy was playing Josh Rosen, then yeah, he probably deserved to lose.
He would have gotten 0
That's
points.
It. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The best way to do what we have done in the past, although not to this extent, I've seen some of these on social media. Not the winner, but you make the person who finishes dead last either dress up or wear one of those street signs that you kind of hang over your body. And, you know, stand out in front of your
sandwich boards
or whatever. Right. A sandwich board. It says, "I suck at fantasy football." And you hopefully costume them in some embarrassing costume and make them stand out there for an hour with a sandwich board. That is funny.
It is. Didn't Spiegel do that? Didn't Spiegel have to dress in a sandwich board at some point and walk down State Street? I thought so. All right. There was a sports story to start the year that I was really touched by, and I want to share that. I just thought it was really a cool thing. It doesn't really suck. I don't know if that's allowed on these airwaves during this period, but we're going to do it anyways. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum, and over there is Trash Panda. And give your Twitter account address again so fellow suckageers can contribute the audio of people saying sucks that we can add to our roll call.
Okay, if you insist. So it's Trisler Studs, which
at Trisler Studs,
or honestly, if you just search, I don't know, actually, because my name isn't Adam Staszynski on there right now. Let's see what happens.
No,
if you
it's
search
Adam don't look directly at the sun,
something like that.
Yeah, it's Adam the Don't Stare Directly at the Sunworm, which is a South Park joke. But anyway.
It's getting away from the Simpsons.
Yeah, just Trisler Studs, and if you spell it, it's Trisler, and Studs,
Studz.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so we need fellow suckageers to help us add to the suckage roll call. So any audio you've heard of people saying suck, we need to collect it and see if it can make our roll call. Julie Swike answered the call.
Oh, by the way, I think I got another one that someone brought up Terry Bores, so I searched Bores and suck and I found this.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do. Finally! There is a God!
Okay, we can work
there
with
you
that.
Go.
We can work. It's not a damn good roll call without Terry Bores. That's where you go. All right. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't know what he's doing over there.
.206 texter to The Score. You got it right. This non-suck story before we leave here today. He's Espo. He's in for Grody, who was in for Espo to start with. So that's where we are on this. So this goes back to October, the opening night of the Seattle Kraken. That was their first game. They're playing the Vancouver Canucks. Release the Kraken. Or as we say in some department stores, release the Karen. We're here to see the manager. So Vancouver Canucks assistant equipment manager Brian Red Hamilton was standing by the bench, and a Seattle fan ran down to got his attention and sent him a message on a cell phone that showed him a picture about a mole on the back of his neck. You should get it checked out. You know, he's in the midst of all of this noise and whatever, and there you go. Well, it turns out he did get it checked out. It turns out that the instincts of the Seattle Kraken fan were correct. The mole on the back of his neck was a malignant melanoma. He saw doctors. He got it removed. He didn't know who saved his life, however. So he, with the Canucks, he sent out an open letter, and it was retweeted. The letter from Brian Red Hamilton. My name is Brian Red Hamilton. I'm the assistant equipment manager for the Vancouver Canucks. I'm trying to find a very special person, and I need the hockey community's help. To this woman I am trying to find, you changed my life, and now I want to find you to say thank you very much. Problem is, I don't know who you are or where you're from. I do know that you were sitting behind the Canucks bench the night Seattle Kraken played their first ever home game. That evening, October 23rd, and the message you showed me on your cell phone will be forever etched in my brain and has made a true life-changing difference for me and my family. Your instincts were right, and that mole on the back of my neck was a malignant melanoma, and thanks to your persistence and the quick work of our doctors, it is now gone. I want you to know that this isn't about me. It's about an incredible person taking the time to notice something concerning, and then finding a way to point out during a hockey game, the chaos of a hockey game, going to a great length to get my attention. They got the attention. It got the attention. It was retweeted, and they identified the woman as, why am I missing her first name here? Linda Popovici. I can't find her first name. Where did they find it? Oh, this is awful. Nadia. It's not Nadia Comaneci. It is
Nadia Popovici.
Nadia Popovici. That's her name. So they met. They met when the next time the teams could, when they identified her, and the Canucks and Kraken found out that she was a medical student. She wanted to go to med school. So they gave her a check for $10,000 for her medical school. And I just thought, what a great story. What a wonderful story. And this came about January 1st, January 2nd. Just, it's tremendous. This woman runs down there, said, you should get that checked out, and saves this guy's life. Who knows where it would have gone? Anyways, I love that story. It doesn't suck.
No, it was a great story, and I saw it, like, she pushes, she holds her, basically got his attention, and because they're on opposite sides of the glass, right?
Yeah.
Holds her phone up to the glass so he can read what's on her phone, and it basically says what you said about him getting that he should get that checked out. So it was very, it was a wonderful story, and I saw a bit of video of them finally meeting, and then I saw a video of her after they surprised her with the scholarship money or the med school money, whatever they called it, however they called it, but the money that they were going to give her towards her education. And it was all great. Very heartwarming.
I love that story. That was wonderful. And, and I also love this one. We had all of us in some way or another mourn the loss of, Betty White. We lost a genius, a wonderful woman, mm-hmm. just a tremendous talent. And then somebody brought up the next point, because every time Betty White's name trended on Twitter, what did you think? You're always worried about that.
Yeah, sure.
So somebody tweeted out, now that our beloved Betty White is gone, can the internet adopt Henry Winkler for real as its honorary grandparent and shower him with love? Which, I love that idea.
Yes.
And I love it even more that Henry Winkler responded to that tweet and said, we are all going for ice cream. Get your coats. So we do. I don't know. Who is that person now? Who's the person you fear trending, right? Who is that? Is it Henry Winkler? Is that it? I love that. We're all going for ice cream. Get your cookies.
I saw the Henry Winkler treat, and I loved it as well. Yeah. And you'll love to know that my wife's new ringtone is Thank You for Being a Friend, the Golden Girls theme song in honor of Betty White.
And the multi-hued Stacey's hair color is...
We're on blonde again.
On blonde. There you go. That sounds like the title of a memoir. All right, we're going to thank Rick Campy showed up at lunchtime. Mark Grody showed up on his own show. Trash Panda, Mike Esposito, everyone who... Secageers, listen. Listen. Send us audio of suck. Contribute to the roll call. That's it. It's an order. Next week, if nobody important listened on the score...
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Collaboration.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.